Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. I'm going to go to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. Now, it's a long weekend here. How many get tomorrow off? How many get Tuesday off? How many just taking it all off? It's good. Amen. It's good. So we're enjoying that. But it's Canada Day, and I love this country. You love this country? I think it's a pretty awesome country. You know, we've had a lot of words from different places, a variety of different people, just really say that Canada is a nation of significance, even in the last days. I think every nation is significant. I think God's got a special plan and purpose, just like every person is incredibly significant. But I think it's great to think that your nation is special, don't you? How many think you're special? You are. And you know what? This nation, God has planted you and established you here. And there's great purpose in what he wants to do with us and with this nation. So I'm excited about Canada. I'm excited about these days. You know, I was with some folks last night. My nephew got married in Mississauga last night at the Mississauga Golf and Country Club. And he married a young lady of incredible influence and social stature. Hallelujah. It was hoity-toity. It was awesome. And we fit right in. So it was good to be there. I was talking with the bride's father, and he's just retired, and he's like, wow, you know, the kids today, he says, when I finished school and I came out, I had 8 different offers of where I could go, and the opportunities were incredible. He says, you know, my daughter's finished school, and fortunately she got a good placement, and, you know, she was here in London at Ivy Business School, and my nephew Matthew actually did an MBA in Monaco. So, but you know, he said a lot of people, they come back and it's harder to find jobs, and they struggle to find jobs. He said it's so difficult out there. And I just began to say, I just see hope ahead of us. I really do. I see a really bright future, and I think it's turning around and shifting. I see jobs being established, and I see creative things happening. I see everything shifting right now. And he's looking at me like, what's going on? He says, wow. He says, and you're a reverend, aren't you? He says, yeah. He says, you must deal with a lot of messy situations. I do, but you know, most people just need a pat on the back, and they need to be told everything's going to be okay. And I believe that inside of every single person, there's something waiting to arise up and be great. And I believe they just haven't had enough people tell them they're awesome and stir up that hope that's in them and that seed of God's purpose and destiny. Too many people got brought up under the veil of you're no good, you can't make it, there's no hope, no future. But I just tell them it's all good, and I'm not going to take on their problems. I'm going to tell them that you got a God who's for you, not against you. He's ready to move for you. And I believe in you, and I know your best days are ahead of you. And I know that I believe in things are going to shift for them. And I've seen too many people turn a corner that never thought they could turn a corner. I've seen lives changed and lives transformed just by a word of hope, just by a word of direction. And I started giving him a word of God. And he said, my God, that's really good. I said, I'm a blue sky guy, and I choose to believe that all things are well and they're getting better every day. Because that's what the word says. It says, so it is with the righteous. It says it gets brighter and brighter every day of their life. And I'm one of them righteous folk. And it gets better and better every day. Oops, I pulled a muscle. But I've been meditating on this verse. I almost felt this morning like I'm going to share this half-baked. It's not quite cooked yet, but I can't help it. I just love this verse. I've been reading it. It's just stirring me up, and it's in Zechariah chapter 9, 11, and 12. And I tell you, there's hope for Canada. Canada's going to be what it's going to be. That word, you know, every word from God already has the power to accomplish the purpose in the word. The power for the word was in the word. The power to bring it into manifestation, if God said it, all the power to bring it to pass is already done. When God said it, it literally is finished. When God said it, it's established in his purpose, because no word from God returns void. It always accomplishes that for which he sent it. Can I get a glory to Jesus? So I'm excited. I want you to walk out of here excited too and pumped up and knowing that things are good, that your future is bright, and you should walk out and just be a beam of light and excitement everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Because light always overcomes the darkness. No matter how dark it is, you are the light of God's glory, and you shine wherever you go. All right, I might even preach today. I don't know. I tell you, I don't know. Zechariah 9, verse 11 and 12. As for you also, because of the blood of your covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. The waterless pit is the place with no hope. It's a place where if you're thirsty, you can't even get a drink. It is a hole in the ground and there's no hope. There's no future. But he said, I will set you free. And these are people who were sent into captivity, who lost hope, who where they were, their homes were left barren and overrun. And these were people who saw no future, believed nothing, but God spoke. And he said, I will set you free from this waterless pit. Return to the strongholds. What is the stronghold? Jesus is my stronghold. Jesus is your stronghold. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. You prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. Now some people, like Kevin and Julie, Julie saying it was so awful to be married to a sick guy. Now it's bad to be a sick guy, but how many know sometimes if you're married to a sick person, that feels even worse because you're so burdened for that person and you're caring for that person, and it's hard to see someone you love going through this struggle. It's a difficult thing. When you're a prisoner of a disease, you're a prisoner of a hopeless situation, you're a prisoner of a lack of a future, you're a prisoner of words, of accusation, you're a prisoner of difficulty, you're a prisoner where there just seems to be no hope. But here it says, I'm going to turn you not into a prisoner of disease, but I'm going to turn you into a prisoner of hope, which means you are imprisoned by hope. That there's just hope. I mean, you can't help yourself. I mean, I can't help it. It's just hope. It's just, all the time, I'm a prisoner of hope. No matter what, it's hopeful. No matter what I see, there's hope. No matter what's going on, it's hope. No matter who I see or who I touch or what's going on, I am bound to hope. I'm a prisoner of hope. And even today, I declare to you that I will restore double to you. Amen. Let's close in prayer. That was good right there. Hallelujah. Man, come on. Read it again. As for you, come on. Because of the blood covenant, I set your prisoners free from the water's pit. Return to your stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, I take that. I'll take it right now. Hallelujah. I take it right now in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Oh, may the God of green hope, this is from the Message paraphrases it, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy. Hallelujah. I'm singing the songs today about overflowing joy, of expressive joy. How many like joy? Says, come on. He says, oh, may the God of green hope, fresh hope, green hope, may the God of green hope fill you up with joy, fill you up with peace, so that your believing lives, say believing, it's not just lives, it's believing lives. Are you believing? Any believers here today? Come on, it says, your believing lives filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit will brim over with hope. Same verse in the New King James. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. Say, I'm a believer. In believing, hallelujah. I'm getting excited all by myself right here. I don't know about you. I'm feeling good. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is a great verse right there. That you may abound in hope. Now the word hope, to wish for something with expectation of its fulfillment. It's not, I hope this changes. It's, I hope this changes. I got hope that this is turning around. I got hope that something is happening. It's not, I hope today is better. I hope today is better. I hope. It's a hope that's expected. It's a hope. It's not this empty, you know, wishing that something would change. It's an expectancy that my future is bright and that good things are in front of me. It's the word elpis is the Greek word. It means joyful and confident expectation of good, abounding with a joyful and confident expectation of good by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's good. Romans 4:17 and 18. It says Abraham was lifted up in the presence of him whom he believed. He was lifted up in the presence of him who he believed. Now, another way to put that phrase is he was lifted up. He got eye to eye with God. He got on the same level as God. He got face to face and eye to eye with God. He got lifted up in the presence of God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Come on, it doesn't exist. But I'm calling it out right now. Well, I want to see it. You got to say it before you see it. You got to declare it in an empty void where there's nothing but faith and the creative realm of God's glory. You got to speak in that place, and you get what you say. You don't get what Bob says, Fred says, Susie says. You get what you say. What do you say? What do you say right now? What do you say? And you see, that confident, that hope, it always speaks and it declares things. He says, you say those things. And he said, contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Contrary to hope, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. See, there was a word. There was a declaration. There was a word that he engaged. There was a word that he began to hope in. There was a word that he hoped in, and he released his faith. And he spoke those things that weren't as though they were. He said, I am a father of many nations. And he had no children. I am a father of many nations. And he declared that which wasn't. And it says, and God made it so. So come on, what does God say about you? This right here is God's word for you. And you know, you can confess that, and God's word on your mouth is the same as his word on his mouth. And when you speak it, it has power to bring it. When you speak it, literally, the end of Psalm 103, it says angels are activated at the voice of his word. So when you voice the word of God, all of heaven starts to move on your behalf. Speak the word of God. Speak it hopefully, speak it expectantly. Hallelujah. The same passage out of the message. It says, we call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. Now, I like that. We call him father. Why do we call him father? Not because he was holy. Not because he was some kind of a special saint. We call him father, not because of any of those reasons. Why do we call him father then? It wasn't because he got God's attention by, I'm holy enough now for you to bless me. I'm wearing the right hair color. My dress is not above my knees. I've never worn stockings or makeup. I'm as righteous as I can possibly think I can. It's not about you. It's about him. He declared you righteous. You know, when you get all these things and you live by all these external things, you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you're trying through some scale to approve yourself to God. Nothing. It says all your righteousness. It doesn't say all your evil deeds. It doesn't say all your sins. It says all your righteousness is like menstrual cloths. But we still keep on trying to prove to God, I qualify. But you see, we didn't call him father because he lived like a saint. That's not why. But because God made something out of Abraham when he was nobody. God made something out of Abraham when he was nobody. It says, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. He believed anyway. People get so frustrated with me. They say, Pastor, I'm expecting this and this isn't happening. And I'm not seeing this in my life and it's not working for me. I said, believe anyway. Well, that's the best you got for me? That is absolutely the best I have for you. Believe anyway, because the lives of believers, believing is what brings into manifestation the purposes of God in your life. Do you believe? And there's an attitude of believing, and the attitude of believing is joy and expectancy and peace. It's not doom and gloom. When's it going to happen? No, I'm declaring those things that aren't as though they were. Well, that's ridiculous. I'm declaring I'm healed when I'm not. Yes! Well, that sounds dumb. That's the life of faith. Settle down. I know you're getting excited. At least two of you. Amen. Come on. He was hopeless. He believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw, he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Not on the basis of what I can't do, but on the basis of God said he would do. What has God said he would do for you? If you don't know, get in the book. There are so many wonderful things in here that God says, I will do for you. Amen. Anybody's hope meter just go move a little bit. Just come on, come on. Abraham crossed over. Look at this now. Abraham crossed over into a realm where no man had gone before. No man had ever done this before. No man. You see, God was looking for men who would literally start to live eye to eye with him. He was looking for men and women who would step into a realm where they would speak things like they were created to speak, declare things, and bring them into manifestation. Never before had a man stepped into this realm where he spoke and God brought into manifestation those things. He stepped into the creative realm. A less than perfect man began to operate out of the same life force as God. You have it in you. It's not something you're trying to drum up or work up. You right now, literally, God's very nature, his ability, God is in you. You are a habitation of the power, the presence of God. God wants you to speak and create your world. A man was lifted up in the sight of God and he began to do the God sort of stuff. Like, God doesn't want you to be constantly dependent on him. He wants you now, because of the finished work of the cross, he wants you to operate by the power of the Spirit out of the same DNA and life force as God himself. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Jesus said, greater things will you do. Not greater things will I do through you, but greater things will you do because I've gone to the Father. Now you will operate. You see, what Jesus did was a living, breathing example of who we can be. See, when you see Jesus in the stories, don't say, oh, I'm going to reach out and touch him like the woman. No, you're Jesus. You're the one walking down the road. You're the one that people are touching. You're the one that's speaking to the blind. You're the one that is releasing the goodness of God. Oh, I wish Jesus was here. Somebody better is here. Something more powerful is here. The body of Christ under his headship is here, releasing his glory in the whole earth. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. Better. Say better. Better. It's better because now he looses a whole bunch of people just like him to fill the earth with his glory. Hallelujah. All right, settle down, Pastor. My goodness. All right. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Come on, with the heart man believes. So I want to believe, Pastor. Well, your heart is your believing mechanism. Say, my heart. It's the heart. My heart is my believing mechanism, and it's the mouth you make the confession unto salvation. Your heart is the believing mechanism. Your mouth is the activating mechanism. Your heart is where you get the picture, you believe, and you conceive ridiculous things. Your mouth is the mechanism that declares those things that you've seen in your heart into manifestation. Hallelujah. What do you see? What do you see? Oh, I see bad days ahead. I see doom and gloom and struggles. No, what do you see? I see the glory of God all over this nation. I see this nation flooded with glory. I see stadiums flooded and filled all the time. I see prayer meetings that are 24/7 worship going to God. I see the streets flooded with the goodness of God. I see people so intoxicated on God that who gives a rip about any other spirit? I got the Holy Spirit and I'm just enjoying him. What do you see? I see people free. I see people in love. I see people full of life and power and strength. I see disease gone. I see hospitals empty. Nurses are going to have to join quartets or choirs. You're going to have to learn to sing. Praise Jesus. We're going to just move them all on to other nations. Get on. Let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go heal the world. Oh, you're getting ridiculous, Pastor. No, I'm not. It says in Psalms, or Acts chapter 3, 19 to 21, it says, Jesus must be kept in heaven until the fulfillment of all things. It says, until every word, all the words are fulfilled, Jesus is kept. He is restrained in heaven. He can't return until every word, every prophecy is fulfilled. Well, let me give you just one prophecy. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall fill all the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's just one word. What do you think? And that says that his glory, like water, heavy water, like ocean water, it's going to be so heavy. The whole earth is going to be so heavy with the glory of God, and not just with his glory, the tangible knowledge of it, the understanding that I am weighted down with glory. Every person in the world is going to experience the weighty, heavy knowledge of the glory of God. He's not coming back. The King of glory will not come back until the glory fills the earth as the waters cover the sea. And that's going to happen. We're not slipping out the back door. Well, that was rough. We're coming through this, and it's going to be a big, massive, glorious explosion of his glory. It's in the Word. I double dog dare you to study it. Just a couple of verses, and you know what? You have to go at the Word with a faulty grid to not believe that God is good, and he's going to do a great work in the earth, and he's going to bring many sons and daughters to glory. Oh, I'm just freestyling now, my God. All right, Romans 10:10. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth he confesses. Hearts, you're believing medication. Your hearts, you're believing mechanism. And you must have a liberated spirit of faith operating on the inside of you. Can I get a glory to Jesus? 2 Corinthians 4:13. Yet we have the same spirit of faith. We have it. You have a spirit of faith. It's the same spirit of faith. It's the same spirit of faith. Well, what do you mean the same spirit? It's the same spirit of faith of him who wrote, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. I have believed. Do you believe? It says, I believe, therefore I speak. Believers have to speak. I have believed and therefore I have spoken. We too believe and therefore we speak. Why? Because we have the same spirit of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped, hoped, hoped. Hoped, 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 hoped. Faith is how you substantiate the things that are hoped for. Faith is the evidence of those things you do not see. So we got to have a spirit of faith. We got to have a heart that's released in us that's powerful, because I tell you, these are the days when the prisoners of hope are going to experience a double portion of the blessing of God. All right, so a climate. You set your climate, so I want you to, we're going to set your thermostat before you go. We're going to make an internal adjustment right now so that you're not just going to hear a little cute sermon, but we're going to make some adjustments to your thermostat right now. Do you understand? Before we leave today, you folks are going to get an internal adjustment so that you're going to line up with the spirit of faith. Can I get a glory to Jesus? We're going to tamper with your heart and we're going to establish you so that you'll walk out of here. You'll be fixed in a realm of confident expectation of joyful, wonderful things. So turn to your neighbor and say, we're going to meddle with you this morning. All right, now let's make some adjustments. Are you ready? Number one, if we're going to establish ourselves with a heart that is full and ready, expectant, hopeful, and it's going to speak and confess incredible words of faith, number one is it must be a heart that is always delightful. Say delightful. Right now, we're going to adjust right now. If there's any murmuring, if there's any grumbling, if there's any sourness in your heart right now, you have a responsibility to get it out. Get it out. Right now, murmuring, go right now in Jesus' name. I mean, doubt and fear, go in Jesus' name. It has to go right now. I resist every negative thing right now because I want to have a delightful heart. Why? Because God meets with those who rejoice. He meets with those who rejoice. See, God was looking for church this morning. Did you know the angels that are here on the earth, they're trying to find the glory? They're literally going around looking for churches where people are happy. Because the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And he's always looking for a place where there's delightful people. Anybody delightful today? So you got to choose right now. I'm going to be delightful. No more murmuring, groaning, sourpuss faces. Come on. But pastor, my circumstances are bad. I didn't ask you how your circumstances are. I said, how is your heart? How is your believing mechanism today? You might have a lot of problems. You might be really messed up in your body right now. But if you want that to change, you got to do something right now with your heart. Because that's the source of everything. That's the source of every blessing. It's going to flow through your heart. If you're going to see your future as bright, you need to address your heart right now. Who cares about your broken knees, your flabby legs, or whatever else your problem is? Right now, if you get your heart fixed up, that will line up with you. Let's get your heart fixed up. So you know what? He says, I meet with those who rejoice and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. God loves to get around a joyful crowd. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Why did Paul say that? Because that is the climate that you must establish if you're going to have God working in your life. All right. Come on. I was in a crazy church last Saturday night, a Tamble church. They were running, jumping, screaming. And then the next morning I went into a quiet church and I was like, my God, that was rough stuff right there. But I got them stirred up. I got a couple people running around. Come on, you an excited church? You a delightful church? You a church full of joy? Come on, he meets with those who rejoice. You gotta do that. Now come on, look at another one of my favorite verses here. 1 Peter 1:8-9. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Huh? We've met this before. Pastor heard that before. I know, and we're gonna look at it again. Whom having not seen, ye love. That's, you love the Lord. You didn't see him, but you love him. Whom through now ye see him. Now, though you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice. I just did it in the King James because it worked better for me. All right. So there's a couple of ye's and all that, but it's all good. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. Now look at that, the sentence structure there. The ye rejoicing with joy unspeakable, full of glory is kind of stuck in there, right? Between believing and receiving, what is there? All right, it's an open book test. It's okay. Look, between believing and receiving, it's all in red. You ready? In between believing and receiving, what is there? There's between believing and receiving, there's with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me give you some speakable joy. Oh, I love God. He's so awesome. I'm so glad I'm in your presence. I rejoice at your word. I rejoice at you. That's speakable glory. That's speakable. It says unspeakable. Unspeakable joy. That's where you start to talk. God is so, he's so, God just, God, he's, look at that. You ever talk about his goodness and then you start to stumble all over? Rejoice again because you're receiving something. Because you're believing that. And you're receiving it. Oh, I'd get happy if my circumstances would change. Then your circumstances won't change. Well, I'd believe if I'd receive. No, it says believing, rejoicing, receiving. Right now, make an adjustment to your heart right now. Did you make that adjustment? Please make it. I don't know how you got to do that, but do it. Speak to yourself. Speak to your face. Speak to every muscle in your face. They say it's easier to smile than frown. So why are you working so hard? Come on. It takes more effort to be miserable than to be happy. It's proven. It's scientific. Come on. Amen. I think it's for you, Jacqueline. Is that the Lord? Hello. Hello. That could be important. Maybe we need to pray for them. Calling Jesus, can I talk with you? Calling Jesus, can I talk with you? Calling Jesus, can I talk with you? Fire. Fire. How many remember that song? That was a good one. Eh? All right. Let's move on. Number two. My wife told me it would be awesome if you finished by quarter two. Okay. So that's good. Number two. Come on. Number two. A dreaming heart. Now, we don't need dreamers, but you need to dream. You need to have dreams, but don't just be a dreamer. But I love hearts that are dreaming. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Whereas a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So you got to make adjustments. If you've got bad images in your heart, if you got bad pictures of doom and gloom in your heart, we need to change those right now. You ready? Right now. Just reach in and go, I got to move that. Get that. Oh, ow. Ooh. Get that out of there. Oh, get it out right now. Holy Spirit, show people bad images that they've been hanging on to. Get rid of them right now in the name of Jesus. Because you know what? As you think, so it is. You cannot think one way and have an expectation of something good on the other side. You cannot be thinking negative and have an expectation that something good's going to happen. It runs. The way you think and the way you get is all lined up. So you know what? You think good, life gets good. You think bad, life gets bad. It's not complicated. So right now, set it on good. Just turn it, set it on good. My thinker is established. I'm fixing it on good right now. Good. When somebody comes up to talk to you, you know one of the phrases I hate and I use a lot, everybody uses a lot. How you doing? What's going on? Really busy. I'm busy. Stop it. And I've said, Lord, I don't want to say that anymore. Even if I think there's a lot going on in my life, I'm not busy. I'm about some good stuff. I'm doing some wonderful stuff. I'm on top of my game. I'm on top of my world. It's not running me. I'm running it, and it's all good. Say it's all good. It's all good. What's going on with you? It's all good. I'm busy. Get it out. It's all good right now because God is always at work for good to those who love him and are called according to their purposes. So what is it? It is all good. Number three. A heart that is always determined, a determined heart. I love determination. I love it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on. Oh, you know, my life's messy. It's just going from messy to worse. Stop it. I am determined that my life is not only good, but I am determined that it's turning around. I am determined that today is getting better. I am determined that this isn't going to go from bad to worse. This is getting better. And I am determined that I can do it. I can do anything God puts in front of me. I can conquer anything. I'm up for every single challenge because God is good. He only has good plans for me. God wants to give me good things. God wants me to enjoy life. He's given us everything for our enjoyment. That's his word. It's good. Number four, a heart that's decisive. Come on. It frustrates me with people who aren't decisive. I can make 10 decisions right now. And I don't care. I'll make them. I don't mind. Some people aren't decisive. They just can't make a decision. They're crippled by analysis and aren't sure what to do. But you know, I love a heart that's decisive. You know what? You know why I can do it? Because the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He doesn't direct the standing still of the godly. He doesn't direct the inactivity of the godly. He directs the steps. He directs the steps. Pick up your foot. I don't give a rip where it's going. I know that if I pick it up, he directs it. And I'm confident if I make a decision right now, well, how do you know that's God? I just know that I'm confident that when I pick up my foot, he's going to bring it down in pleasant places because he is committed to me in every way. I trust him. I trust that he will direct my activity, that he delights in me, and that when I decide something today, that he's going to bring my foot down in a pleasant place, and it's all good. Make up your mind. Get yourself in gear. Get your foot in the air, and God will bring it down in a good place because the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by the Lord. He delights in every detail of their lives. Number five. Did you make the adjustment there? Number five, the heart is always demanding. Now, God doesn't mind if you're demanding. In fact, he likes it. In fact, he said, the way you come to my throne is boldly. I didn't make that up. He did. In fact, if you come and you come, oh God, it's me. I'm a worm and I'm not worthy. I'm just so grateful that, you know, I can even come close to you. And I don't know about you, but there's nobody in front of me. There's nobody. There's no waiting line. I am in his face constantly. I'm right there. I don't have to say, Jacqueline, get out of the way. You've been here all day. Get out of the way. I'm first. You're first. I mean, believe it or not, God can handle all of us at the same time. And you know, I'm first. There's nobody in front. I don't have to wait. Don't do it. I go, oh, God, let's do something great today. Yeah. A heart that is always demanding. It says that it talks about prayer. He says, what's prayer like? What's God like? He says, and he gave a parable. He talked about, you know, someone who came and he said, he's not going to get what he asked for. He says, he will get up and he will give whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. Shameless persistence. He's probably tired of me asking for that. Probably thinks I'm a whiner. Well, don't whine then. Shout at him. Get big. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Because we know that what we ask for, we have it. So we come with confidence when we approach God. We come with boldness. See, we got some tag team preaching there. Jeff gave me ammunition from the back row. That was good stuff. That's in 1 John 5. This is the confidence we have when we approach God. I mean, and the word in the King James Version is importunity. And importunity sounds like such a negative word sometimes, but God's literally come with shameless persistence. If you're going to approach me, come. I mean, come big. And I love Isaiah 45:11. It says, concerning the work of my hand, ask me. No, it says command me. In fact, if you look at the word ask, whatever you ask of him, that word ask should be translated whatever you command him. I don't want to command God. I mean, don't tempt God. I mean, hallelujah. Command his hand. Command the works of his hand. The heart that is demanding. Number five. You want to get demanding. Get your heart set on demanding. Number six. Heart that is declaring. That's important. Faith speaks, right? And I love this. It says, your servant has killed the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Isn't that great? And I know Mark Hankins, he preaches about David and Goliath, but Mark Hankins says, never run at your giant with your mouth closed. He says, always run at your giant with your mouth open, full of confessions, full of bold words. And David ran at him. David, how many people went with David down to kill the giant? How many? Zero. And how did David go? Walking terribly, fearfully. Oh, I hope God does something here. He says, I hope nobody else wants to kill this guy because I'm going to get him today. David runs down with a slingshot and five stones and says, here we go. Why's he got five stones? I heard he's got four brothers. He takes that stone. He says, I can't believe you're going to send this at me. He says, you come and you're God. You're an uncircumcised Philistine. You don't have a covenant. I got a covenant. I got a promise. I got a promise to lay a hold of. I got a word that is already in the atmosphere. I got a word that is already spoken. I got a word. My victory has already been declared. I'm just coming to collect. So come here, you big dope. I can't miss you. I got a word to appropriate right now, and I'm appropriating right now. And he let that rock go. He died, took his own sword, chopped off his head, finished right now. But you got to declare it. You got to declare it. Job 22, 28, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you so that light will shine on your ways. Why? So that light, so that the glory of God will be manifest. When you declare things, God manifests on those things so that God's glory is revealed. You got to be declaring. Come on, open your mouth, say glory, healing, freedom, breakthrough, new job, better job, creative ideas, oh, hallelujah, glory, miracles flowing through me, lightning off my fingertips, running in the glory of God, my hair's on fire, I'm going Mach 7 in the glory, I'm delivering whole countries and cities. I'd just like to pay my water bill. All right. Water bill be paid in Jesus' name. Now step up. Electric bill be paid in Jesus' name. Better job, freedom, wholeness in my body, triumphing in every area of life, a creative idea that establishes once and for all. I got an idea. I got a chemical equation in my head. I don't know what it is, but it'll abolish AIDS. Woo, thank you. Wow. You got to set your heart. You got to do something. You got to figure it out. You will declare a thing and it will be established for you and his light will shine on your ways. Number seven, a heart that is daring. You know, nothing good ever comes without some risk. Because faith operates in the unseen. And you got to be daring. You got to be a little bit daring. And I love Livingston, when he said, I need people to help me in Africa. And they said, sent him back and said, could you please tell us what the roads are and what the tracks are so that we can send them to you? He said, if they need tracks, don't send them. They need directions. I don't need them. I need people that are just ready to go. I need people who don't say, give me a map. I need people that are ready to jump, to run, to go, and believe God that I got a word to appropriate, and I'm ready to get it done right now. Now, here's one of my favorite people, Shama. And Shama's name means desolation, which is a horrible thing to call a child, isn't it? Desolation, come for dinner. Oh, I got big expectations. And that's a terrible name. You know, Shama lived in a period where they would plant their crops every year, and they'd take care of them every year, and then the Philistines would come and harvest them and take them away. And they'd all go, oh, well, let's go see if they left anything. So again, it says they're about to run away. But it says Shama said, no, I'm tired of this. Every year we take care of this, and then those guys enjoy it. I'm not doing this anymore. I am enjoying the fruit of my labor. I'm not going to be stolen from ever again. And he said, I don't care if everybody else ran away. I'm standing in my field right now. And it says he stood in his field, and he struck down all the Philistines. And then here's the beautiful thing is, it doesn't say Shama brought about a great victory that day. It says the Lord did. What is the Lord trying to do? Where do you need to take him today? Where do you need to manifest him today? See, the Lord's ready to do great, incredible stuff. He just needs somebody to stand in their field. I'm not running from my victory. I'm not running away right now. I've been believing for healing. Oh, God. Oh, I'm taking it right now. I'm taking it today. I'm not going to shrink back from this. I want it right now. All right, so take a risk. Come on, stand in your field. Look at that, man. I'm all the way down to the end. All right, now we're going to wrap it up right now. So I'll tell you a story about my favorite donkey. All right. My favorite donkey story. Now, this was, how many heard the story? I don't know if it's actually a true story or not. I've heard it several times, but it is about a farmer who had a donkey who wandered and fell into a well. And they did everything they could to try to get the donkey out. But the donkey, they, no matter what they did, they couldn't get the donkey out of the well. And the donkey was making a horrendous noise down there. And they're like, oh, my goodness, I can't. It's just sad that I'm losing this donkey, but we can't get him out. And you know what? We should do the decent thing. We're just going to have to bury him. And so he got out there, big truckload of dirt, and started shoveling dirt down into the hole. And now the donkey, he didn't know what was decided up above, but the donkey thought, how awesome is this? What a great plan. So when they threw the dirt down, he shook it off, and he tramped it down. Then they threw more dirt down, he shook it off, and he tramped it down. And then the farmer realized, look at this donkey. How creative is that? The donkey kept shaking it off and tramping it down until the donkey stepped out of the well. You know what? Life might be shoveling all kinds of stuff your way. Shake it off and tramp it down. Shake it off and tramp it down. Shake it off and tramp it down. Say, no matter what comes your way, you are more than a conqueror. You are condemned to a life of victory. You are a prisoner of hope. In every situation, the only thing coming out of you, no matter what comes to you, you know that whatever this situation is, I have authority, I have word, I have promise, I have victory to uphold right now. I've got something to lay hold of. I'm ready to manifest a miracle in these situations right now. So we made some heart adjustments. You ready? Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Let's just do a little something, just a little something before you go. You ready? Just a little practice. How many got a heart adjustment today? How many got a heart adjustment today? Come on. And don't let that go back into another territory. You know, you can't affect what the temperature is outside, but you can affect what you've set your heart at. You can't affect sometimes the circumstances that come your way, but you can determine how you're going to face it. And you need to face things with courage and with boldness because you are a prisoner of hope. And if you stay in your stronghold, God guarantees you today that I will restore to you double. So it's good. If you feel stolen from in any way right now, say, I receive double right now. So let's try something right now. You ready? Go like this. Go. All right. You ready? One more time. You ready? You ready? Now stand down. Now go do that all through your day. You know, when something comes your way you don't like, don't matter where you are, you know? If they tell you the price of gas just went up 40 cents, you go, hallelujah. Whatever's going on, God meets all my needs. So you know what? I don't care what the pump says. Glory to God. Oh, my, you see the price of gas? Who cares? Have you seen that I live out of the abundance of his glory? I'm not moved by fear. I'm moved by the declarations of my mouth. And God has spoken a great promise over me. Don't matter what's going on out there. Inside here, there's power. There's a life force that speaks the things of God. Ready? Shake it. Ready? Shake one more time. Now practice that all week. And I'm telling you, you'll come back here next week with some amazing praise reports. Are you ready? Come on, lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, we got people coming right now. There's going to be people up the front. They're ready to pray for you. We're going to release you to go enjoy your day. But I just want those who are assigned to pray, would you come up front now? And we're just going to, they're here to minister to you. They're here to bring a prophetic word to you. They're here to agree with you. They're here to just agree with you in an impartation and a breakthrough. And I tell you, there are times you need to come to the altar. There's times you need to experience God's touch. So they're here to minister to you today. But I want to bless you, all right? I want you to have a happy holiday weekend or however that works out for you. But I want you to know that you're an amazing nation and you're an amazing person. And God wants to do great things in and through you. Believe more, hope more, expect more, because you are set up for success. You're condemned to a life of victory. It's wonderful to be you. It's a gift to be you. Well, Father, I bless this house in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you that I get to hang out with these people all the time. I thank you that I am with a group of people who believe. I thank you that they're fearless. I thank you that they're willing to go beyond what their mind can get a hold of. I thank you that they're willing to step into a thought realm where they really say, I have the corporate mind of Christ. And they speak things that are not as though they were. Their hope meter is off the chart because they know, God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I could even think or dream or imagine. You're the God of more than enough all the time. So I thank you that I get to hang out with these people all the time. They push me. They move me. They inspire me to incredible feats of faith and risk, because we know that if I pick my feet up, you'll bring them down in pleasant places. So Father, let every heart be established today. Let the climate of every heart be one that is productive day. It's fertile ground for the creative realm of your glory. So Father, I bless this house, each and every one, all they hold dear and all they love. Let it be blessed now in Jesus' name. So Father, may your love and the knowledge of it explode in every heart and life. Jesus, thank you for your grace and unmerited favor that is powerful. It's not a doctrine. It's you. It's your very life force in us. And thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you that you're my partner, that you're with me, co-laboring with me every step of the day. I am so advantaged and I am blessed. So Father, bless this house now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. I was a little bit over time, but I know there's prayer for you right now. Come on up here and get blessed, get blessed, get blessed.